Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Getting close to the end of another term. Some holidays coming up, and I know you're looking forward to those. And as Principal has just prayed, I'm sure you're tired. School is much more intense today than it was when I was your age. And I was just thinking, our school day wasn't quite as packed as yours was. I remember one day, we had only one teacher in the whole school. Of course, there was only about 12 in the whole school. This was away up in the mountain, outside of Listenski, and it was called Mullnabortland Primary School. And I remember one day the teacher brought in a 2-2 rifle, and I don't know how long we spent with him shooting rabbits out over the wall that was around the school playground. And I can imagine the boys would think that is a great lesson to have on the school curriculum. Maybe some of the girls too. The rabbits, I'm sure, ended up in the schoolmaster's pot at home. We didn't get any of them. But those days are over, boys and girls. Those days are over shortly after. Because there were so few at the school, they closed that wee school and we had to walk then 2 miles every day there and back to the school in Listenski. Those were the days, different time. But I know you love this school, even there's no shooting of rabbits. I know you do. Because I can hear you out in the playground, cahooing and laughing and enjoying yourselves. And I know that you will enjoy your Easter break. Trust the Lord will keep you safe. Now we're turning to Luke chapter 16. We'll read from the verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar, named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, oh yes, boys and girls, it will always come to pass that the beggar died. That will always come to pass for us all. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. We'll end the reading there, and we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Now, we've started this parable, though even as I read the words again, there was a certain man, there was a certain beggar. I am inclined to think this wasn't just a story that the Savior made up, but he is using actual events, I believe, to illustrate some very plain gospel truths. Now, we have been looking in our first studies of this portion of God's Word at some preliminary matters, just setting out some simple matters regarding what it is the Savior is saying. But now I want us to consider more closely, just exactly in detail, what the Lord Jesus is seeking to teach us. Now, I want you to notice this, and I want you to take note of this very carefully. The Savior is teaching us here that when a man dies, he does not cease or end his existence. He continues on. The same man, not on earth anymore, but he's still in existence. That's what the Savior is saying here. Verse 22, and it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So, when men are carried to the graveyard and their coffin is lowered into the ground, that's not the end of it. In actual fact, they're not in that coffin. Their mortal body is, but they are in eternity. If they are saved, they're in heaven. If they're not saved, they're in hell. They're in hell. They haven't ceased to be. The rich man is still called the rich man in eternity. And he has all the memories of his life on earth. And the beggar, he's still called the beggar. And he has all the memories of what life was like for him on earth. But their circumstances have changed very, very much. Very, very much. Boys and girls, it's important that we learn this simple truth. Out there in the world, those who reject God and reject the truth of God, they like to think that when I die, that's the end. I am no more. But they're wrong. They're wrong. There are many today who promote the idea that if someone is very, very ill and suffering from that illness, it is best that a doctor just give them an injection that will kill them. Because, you see, not believing the Bible, rejecting the Bible, people think that when this person dies as a result of that injection, their pain will be over, their suffering will be over, and that's the end of them. That's the end of everything. But they're wrong. Because if they are like the rich man and not saved, then they enter suffering the like of which we can't even begin to imagine. So let's learn this simple truth. We don't end our existence at death. Then notice something else happens here at death. There is a separating of the saved and the unsaved, the lost. When these two men died, the rich man went in one direction, and the poor beggar went in another direction. They had shared a little spot on earth for quite a long time. The rich man in his mansion, and not too far away, at the gates of the mansion, there lay the beggar. They weren't too far apart, but when they died, they were very, very far apart. Now, I have to tell you this, that God requires of us, as Christians, that we live separate from the world. I want you to understand that, boys and girls. God wants us to be separated from worldly people and their ways and their words and their works. He wants us to keep apart from them. Though it's not really possible to be completely separated from them. Even here in a Christian school, there may be somebody here not saved. And in the classroom or in the playground, the fact that they're not saved comes out. They say they do something, and that shows that they're not saved. If you're not saved, the cat gets out of the bag every so often. You say something, you do something that shows you're not saved. So even in a Christian school, there may well be those who are not saved. And although we are to keep well apart from those who are not saved and their ways and habits, it's not really very possible. When you go out to work, you'll work with people who are not saved. You mingle with them all the time in this life to a great measure. And even though God wants us to keep ourselves separate as much as it is possible, during this life it's not really possible. Let me read to you the Psalm 1. That's easily found. The Psalm 1. And it tells us really what God wants from us. Verse 1 of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel or the advice of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorn. In other words, God is saying the man or the woman or the boy or the girl who doesn't mingle with the ungodly, they enjoy the blessing of the Lord to a special degree. But as I say, we should strive after that separation, but it's not possible to attain unto full separation. You know, I was reading just this morning in Leviticus, in my Bible reading, Leviticus, the chapter 20. And here's what God says. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. God is explaining his laws, and his laws were meant to be obeyed, and through the obedience of God's laws, Israel would be separated from all the other nations, not like them at all. And that's how it is with us. As we seek to live by the word of God, we live a life that's different from the ways of the world. But it's not possible just to make a complete break from the worldly people around us. But when we die, there will be a complete break. When we die, we will never again hold communion, fellowship, conversation with an unsaved person. We'll be separated. They will have gone to a place of everlasting punishment. We will have gone to a place of everlasting joy. And we will not be in any way plagued as we are here on earth with having to listen to the bad talk, the filthy conversation of the wicked, as the scripture speaks of. There's no more of that in eternity. You will find in the scriptures recorded the desires of the saints of God on many occasions, that they might get away from the wicked. The psalmist said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I might fly away." Fly away from what? The activities of the wicked that were a grievance and a vexation to him. He longed to be able to get away. Paul the Apostle said that he longed to be with Christ, which was far better. And many, many times, boys and girls, particularly as you get older and you get weary of this world and its ways, you long to go to heaven. You long to be away from the noise of the ungodly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaks about that longing to be in that house that God has built for him. Get away from this world and its sin. Then again, I want you to notice punishment for the unsaved and the blessing of God for the saved begins immediately when we die. It says the rich man was in torment. The moment he died, he was in torment. That's where he went, into torment. Whereas we are told that poor beggar, he was immediately in Abraham's bosom, which is a title given to heaven, the place of the redeemed, with Abraham, who is called the father of the faithful. And he's like a father figure. And when the saints of God die, well, they go together with this great man, Abraham, and they rest with him. So, punishment for the wicked begins immediately they die, and the blessing of God begins immediately for the Christian when they die. Now, of course, I have to say this, so that you don't misunderstand. I have to say this, the moment you get saved, the joy of God comes into your life. Comes into your life. It's like what's happening out there in the garden. Maybe you don't look too often at what's happening in the garden, but do it sometime today. And if you know where the flower bed is, well, some flowers are already up and growing and flourishing, like daffodils. In fact, the daffodils are dying off. Their day is done. But others are coming up. And some of them are just breaking through the surface. And you can just see the bud forming. The cherry tree in my garden, I just noticed yesterday, there is the beginning of the cherry blossom. Only it's just a wee tight ball at the moment, red coloured. Soon it'll open up and be a beautiful pink. But there it is. It started. You can see what it will be like once it really grows. Well, it's the same with a Christian. The moment you're born again, you enter into the joy of God's salvation. The joy and the happiness. It's only when you die that you begin to enjoy its fullness. The joy of the Christian here on earth is mingled and mixed with sorrow and sadness. There's many things that are happening and taking place that grieve us and vex us and rob us of our joy. When you die, we enter into the fullness of joy, and it's uninterrupted, nothing to spoil it. That's what we see here in what the Savior is showing us. The beggar is in Abraham's bosom. Gone are all the griefs that he had on earth. He was a believer. He wouldn't be in Abraham's bosom if he wasn't a believer. He didn't go to heaven because he was poor. A lot of people think that, you know. In fact, there was a great evangelist, and you can read the sermon he preached on this parable. And he was moved to preach it because he met so many people who thought that the beggar went to heaven because he was poor on earth. Because he suffered poverty on earth, God brought him to heaven. And as he went about as an evangelist and met many poor people, for this was back in the 1800s, and he met many, hundreds and hundreds of poor people who all thought, "Here I am on earth and I'm in poverty. I've hardly food to eat or clothes to put on. But when I die, I'm going to heaven because I'm poor now." And he set out to try and teach them this is not so. Beggar didn't go to heaven because he was a beggar. He went to heaven because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get to heaven, whether you're a beggar or whether you're a rich man. No, as soon as he died, the beggar went into the blessing, the full blessing of God, because he believed in the Lord Jesus. Whereas the rich man, he entered in immediately to the everlasting punishment of the damned. Now, the rich man had many a misery on earth. You can't live contrary to God without experiencing misery. You do wrong, and you reap the consequences of it. You will. The beggar, the day he trusted the Savior, put his faith in God's promise, joy came to him. Not fullness, not uninterrupted, but nevertheless he enjoyed a measure of blessing from that day on. But now that he's died, he has come into the fullness of it. And the rich man, as he lived in his riches with all his luxury all around him, he still was visited with the consequences of his sin. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow sin, doesn't matter who you are, if you sow sin, you reap the consequences. Judgment always follows sin. But now that he's died, he has entered into the full, uninterrupted experience of God's wrath against sin. And I repeat, boys and girls, punishment for the unsaved, blessing for the saved, begins in a full measure when we die. When we die. We are told very plainly by the Savior that this is so. It's not just a doctrine that I have come up with. The Savior says it's so, and it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell. That's where he went. The circumstances of the beggar improved immediately. Improved above measure. We can't measure the improvements that he enjoyed as soon as he died. Nor can we measure the misery that the rich man entered upon when he died. The beggar was carried into paradise, that place reserved for the saints, while the rich man went to a place of torment. All pleasure ended. It's a common fallacy among the ungodly, boys and girls, that in hell there will be some pleasure. Many's a wicked man has said, well, if I go to hell, I'll have plenty of friends there, and we'll get along together. No, that's not how hell is. Those who have been friends on earth, and who have sinned on earth together, and go to hell, spend eternity cursing each other. Cursing each other. Not in friendship and pleasurable companionship. One will say to the other, you went to Sunday school, why didn't you tell me? Another will say, I wouldn't be here, only the influence you exercised on my life, you encouraged me in my sin! And they'll hate each other in hell, rather than have good times together. Oh, there's no joys, no pleasures in hell, boys and girls. I'll just notice with you, while we're on this particular part of the story, the role of angels in the lives of the people of God. I've told you this before. I've told you this before. At this very moment, your angel, your angel, your angel, your angel, your angel is before God. Because God has appointed angels to look after the redeemed. Now, I know it's a mystery. We can't see the angels. But nevertheless, the Bible teaches us that each one who's saved have appointed to them angelic guardian. Isn't that a marvellous thing? And here, when the poor beggar dies, you know, the chances are, when that man died, the local council paid a couple of men, go gather up that corpse there. That old beggar has died. Because he didn't die in bed, he probably died propped against some corner, when in the morning a passerby saw the dead body. It was reported. And so these men would have been sent. Something like this. Gather him up, take him away and bury him. Nobody to follow his coffin. Maybe he didn't even have a coffin. He would have just dug a hole and thrown his body in. But while that was what happened to his body, his soul was carried, attended by the inn. The rich man would have had a very rich, pompous funeral. But that was nothing like what happened to the beggar. He was carried by the angel. Boys and girls, that's the care God takes of those who are his. The Lord Jesus is watching over you, and he sends his servants to carry out his commands, to watch over you, to watch over you. Well, I have one more point that I'll make, and it's this. When we die, wherever we go, we are there forever. There are many religions that teach their people, those foolish enough to believe their falsehoods, that when they die, they won't necessarily be in that place forever. For instance, the Roman Catholic Church teaches the doctrine of purgatory. There is no purgatory. But millions believe there is. There's not a mention of it in the Bible. Not a mention. Not a mention because there is no such place. But the Roman Catholic Church teaches its people that when you die and you're not quite ready for heaven, you go to a place called purgatory, a place of purging, where whatever sin is in your life will be purged out of you. Now, it might take you 10,000 years in purgatory before you get purged, or maybe even a million years in purgatory. But those who are on earth can help those who have died and gone to purgatory to get out of purgatory by paying money, by going to a priest and asking the priest to say a mass for the loved one who's died and gone to purgatory. It's a lie, a deception, a fraud, a fraud. Not a word of truth in it. Because when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And if you go to heaven, you'll be there for all eternity. And if you go to hell, you'll be there for all eternity. There's no changing of your circumstances or your condition after you die. Hebrews chapter 9, the verse 27 says, "And it was appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." After this the judgment. The rich man and the beggar never met again. Never met again! The rich man couldn't say, "Well, Lazarus, I'm separated from you, but in 10,000 years I'll join you." That's what Roman Catholic Church teaches, but it's a lie. At this very moment, the rich man is in hell, and Lazarus is in heaven. And a billion, trillion years from now, the rich man will still be in hell, and Lazarus will still be in heaven. Boys and girls, you have one chance. Listen to me. You have one chance of getting to heaven. And you can only start for heaven during your lifetime. When you die, the chance is gone. The chance is gone. Hebrews chapter 3 says to us, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." You can miss your chance of heaven by hearing the invitation of the Lord Jesus to come unto him and be saved, and refuse that invitation and harden your hearts and say, "No, I'm not getting saved." You can miss heaven by doing that. You will miss heaven by doing that. On the other hand, follow the advice that was given to Samuel. He was told when he heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him again and calling him, "Samuel, Samuel," he was told, "You answer that voice and say, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" Is the Lord speaking to you today? Is he speaking to you now? Do you realize indeed that within your heart, "Yes, God's speaking to me. I'm not saved, but I should be saved. And the Lord is telling me I should be saved." Well, do you know what you should do? You should just bow in prayer before the Lord and say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I'm not going to turn away. I'm not going to turn my back. I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey. Speak to me and I will come. I will answer." Will you do that today? You'll be off on your holidays. Tomorrow? Oh, will you think about this matter? And don't miss your chance for heaven. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you will bless the boys and the girls. Any that are not saved, God have mercy on them. Let them not turn their back upon thee. But like the shepherd going out after the lost sheep, and he followed it until he found it and lifted it up and carried it home. Lord Jesus, gather all of the boys and girls here into your arms and carry them home. Bless our school this day, and as it comes to the end of the term, take care of it, we pray, and the boys and the girls while they're on holiday. Teachers too, refresh them, bless them. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.